This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. On today's Breakfast Grill, I'm in conversation with Yukonton Wisakosin, short for Vicky, President of ASEAN and Asia Pacific Distributor Markets for Ford Motor Company, one of the largest automotive companies in the world, as she shares with us how this 119-year company is innovating to provide mobility solutions across the world. A very good morning to you, Vicky. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Not too bad, not too bad. You know, I have so many fond memories of the Ford, but I wonder for Malaysia, how does Ford position itself? Because one of the biggest challenges is that in Malaysia, especially local manufacturers, they've upped their game. We have the Chinese, Korean, Japanese models that have value, considered value for money and efficiency. And then you have the European marquees that are really catered for the premium segment. So what's the positioning of Ford in Malaysia?
Well, I think we have set up ourselves pretty with a unique position, right? Because especially for our product, and we have a strong partners in the market as well. Samdabi has been in the market for a very long time, and they have expertise in the automotive industry. And for us, for Ford Motor Company, the product that we bring to Malaysia is basically the Ford DNA. Everyone know Ford for being built Ford tough, right? And the Ford truck and the SUV that we bring into the market, that setups up pretty nicely in terms of versus the competition. And especially with the next gen Ranger and next gen Everest that we'll be bringing to the market, you will see a lot how we have kind of revolutionized and evolution our product as well. We are bringing a lot of technologies in to help the driver to achieve what they would, aspire to do in their daily life. So I would say to your questions in terms of how we are positioned in the market, I think it has to be the product, and we kind of have our own unique space that we are owning with the product that we launch into the market.
So you said, right, two models coming through, the next gen Ranger and the next gen Everest. And you made a very interesting point, built for tough, but the infusion of technology to bring forward. So tell me about the characteristics and the DNA of Ford. How do you build for tough? How do you infuse the technology to ensure you build very tough vehicles in this very challenging terrain here in Asia Pacific?
Well, we've done a lot of things, right? And if you've been kind of following the news, if I were to break it down, unpack the product, when we say build for tough, if we have to unpack the product, we could unpack into three categories, right? Quality, reliability, and durability, right? This product has been tested across the world, has been designed to fit with many terrains, and to come up with this product, we have interviewed thousands of customers to really learn and understand their needs, right? So those are the things that we use as an input to design the product. And our engineering team has put this product to test in a various condition, extreme cold, extreme hot, water, waiting, including real life situation and dyno test, right? But you may say, so what's the difference with other products, right? Other competitors probably have done the same thing. Yeah. But for us, what definitely in terms of the QRD, the other things that is going to help us to be differentiated with our competitors is the technology, right? And the features that we are bringing in. If you get a chance to look at our next gen Ranger, you will see the technology that being cascaded down to the pickup truck, right? The Sync 4 that we are introducing, right? A lot of features, the driver assist technologies, and also like terrain management, the cargo management. And if you look at the cargo box, the way we design cargo box is allow us to allow our customers to really fully utilize the cargo box to support their work, right? And also it's not just work, it's about play and about family as well. So those products are designed for that.
So the point you make is that Build for Tough means really great emphasis for QRD, quality, reliability, durability. That's something that really you work very hard for. But I think it's been very challenging, isn't it, for Ford to maintain this desire for quality, reliability, durability, because globally you've had some challenges with respect to quality of the business, right? You've had to recall 100,005 hybrid models. There've been issues over the engine failures of the Bronco SUV. How do you overcome these recalls that are very damaging for the brand then? Because you hold so dear to this QRD mantra.
Well, the situation, it was unfortunate, right? But I think the most important thing is we have to recognize that we have work to do in that area. And I think the utmost important thing is once you realize that you have that problem, how do you treat your customer? So one other thing is that also we have to treat our customer like family, right? And it's providing speed and solution to our customer. I think to me, that is as critical. Definitely, there's an opportunity for us to continue to work on the, you know, addressing the qualities, but also as important and even more important is how do you take care of your customers? And I believe that with the mantra that we hold dear to our heart is not just QRD, right? How do you treat customer like your family? And that's also another dimension that we work really, really hard in this region to make sure that we up our game in customer experience.
So what are you doing then on the customer experience side? Because this clearly is very damaging for the brand. How do you basically treat customers as a family member during these very difficult times?
For our region, let me bring back closer to home. Our launch has been great so far. And the way we managing our customer, a couple of things, right? One, if we have, if we do have a problem, then we have what we call is rapid response hub that respond quickly. We can pick up the issue within a day and be able to feed that back into our system, right? So in the past, it could take days, right, for us to get the feedback from the field and get it back to the engineering team. But with the rapid response hub that we put in place, that speed has been cut more than half, right? That's number one. The second thing is also we are implementing numbers of customer experience initiative, right, to help customers, get their service at their own terms. For example, if they have, they feel like they won't need their car service, they could do a pickup and delivery, right? We would do that. And then in other markets, we will also do like mobile service vehicle. And, you know, in some cases, if customers has experience, we will provide them with like loaner as well. So those are some of the CX initiative that we are rolling out in this region. It'll be like coming market by market. So those are some of the things that how we treat customer like family.
And let's stay closer to home, which is Asia Pacific, because that's where we all operate in. Just looking at your market share as a business, 2.5%. What's the ambition there? What's the challenge? Because when I listen to the model focus and priorities, they're not the mass market sedans and city kind of commutes, right? They are more for rugged terrain. So is the goal to grow market share then in the business, or is it very much to remain niche and focused for these specific segments then?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a niche, right? Because the segment that we actually playing in, if you look at the pickup across all the just focus on ASEAN region, right? In Thailand, the pickup segment represents almost 45% of the total industry. And then I believe in Malaysia, don't quote me, I could get you the exact number. I think we are at about 18%, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And then, we're seeing the segment of pickup segment is growing. Like even in the Philippines, I think the latest segmentation is about 19%, right? Mm. So I wouldn't say that we are a niche player, right? We're definitely focusing on our strength, right? We play to our strength. We know that we have heritage and DNA of our truck that we built like 100 years, right? And we are good at that. So that's why, back to your point, it just, we pick where to play and we play to win in that, so, in our strength.
So you pick where you play where to win, essentially. In Malaysia,
play to win, yeah.
Play to win, for sure. Malaysia's market share, 15 to 20%. You know, give us a sense of how much market share then do you want to do for this specific segment then in Malaysia? What's a winnable segment then?
Well, you know, right? We normally don't give out the share aspiration anyway. So what we normally look at is we definitely have to look at year over year growth. Every year we have to grow. That's how I look at it anyway. Because market share is, it's just a number and it can affect it by many things, right? As long as you continue to grow, and I'm talking like, you know, volume, as especially when you're launching new product, you have to grow your volume. That's the most important thing for me.
So help me contrast the distinctions you've had for Asia Pacific strategy. I can hear you and see that, okay, there is a clear intention to grow and be really relevant in markets like Thailand, Philippines, Malaysia. But I see a contrast in other markets like Indonesia, Japan, and even India. Because you pulled out from Indonesia, plans to pull out from Japan. You've shuttered your factories over in India, and you've passed Tata Motors to buy over the facilities in India. Tell me in contrast, why is it that these markets like Thailand, Philippines, and Malaysia are growth markets, whereas you've been forced to exit relatively very large markets like Indonesia, Japan, and India?
Well, because in this part of the world, right, I think it's all boiled down to two things, right? The market, the growth potential of the market, and also the product that it will fit with that market requirement, right? We have a successful formula for ASEAN because we have two very strong products that it designed and produced within ASEAN, like the Next Gen Ranger and Next Gen Everest. So those two will allow us to win in this market. And if you look at the product, it looks great. I mean, I believe we have winners on our hand to win in this market.
Well, let us deep dive a bit, right? Because I think that if you look at these markets where you've exited Indonesia, Japan, and India, Japan, I kind of understand based on the segment and the portfolio you have. But with Indonesia and India, aren't your models ideal for those kind of markets?
I think you gotta understand the challenge in those markets, right? Let me pick Indonesia, for example, right? Indonesia is a large industry, and they have the low cost of vehicle, which we don't have at this point, right? But we do sell our pickup, the Ranger, in the markets, and we will be launching the next gen in the market as well. So we look at we can't compete in the entire industry, right? We don't have that portfolio to do that. But where we can compete, we definitely making sure that we have a strong product to compete in that subsegment.
Now let's focus on Malaysia. Looking at the numbers, 2,600 plus units sold, growth about 30% year on year. What's the plan? Because now Malaysia only contributes 3% of your overall market. Mm-hmm. What's the aspiration for Malaysia to contribute to Ford's business in the future?
Well, definitely, I definitely encourage them to continue to grow their business, right? And I want to see them grow more than 3% contribution to our total industry total business for sure. And I think they can, right? With the strength of the network that they have, with the expertise and the competency that they have, they understand the market. I got a chance to meet with the management team of Sandabi Auto Connection when I was down there to help them launch Next Gen Ranger. They really have a passion to grow, and their dealers also very excited with the products that we are bringing into the market. So I truly believe that they will continue to grow.
Passion, excited to sell the product. I guess those are the qualitative aspects of dissecting and determining a good and bad distributor. In your experience so far, what makes a good and bad distributor then?
Well, good... Fortunately or unfortunately, I haven't really experienced the so-called bad distributor yet, right? We may have challenges, we may have some disagreement, but I think we all wanting the same thing, right? To make sure that Ford survive in the market and not just survive and win in the market. So the strength what I look for distributor, definitely one, right? And truly understand the industry and have the strength of the organization that would help carry the strategy that we all agree, right? And I believe Sandabi have just that. I got a chance to meet with their team, you know, the way they innovate their services. And if you look at their facility, they have the capability to invest to help us grow the brand. So those are a couple of things that we look at in the distributors.
On the Breakfast Grill, I'm in conversation with Yu Kontorn, Vicky Wisart-Kosin, president of ASEAN and APAC distributor markets for Ford Motor Company. After the break, their electric dreams. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back on the Breakfast Grill. I'm in conversation with Yu Kontorn, Vicky Wisart-Kosin, president of ASEAN and APAC distributor markets for Ford Motor Company, as we understand how Ford has tried to build its market relevance in the Asia Pacific. Now, Vicky, I cannot leave you without having a conversation about EVs, because I'm just wondering, we all think that EVs are just the predomination of Elon Musk and the Tesla business. But honestly, Ford Motor was the first auto company that actually manufactured an EV vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I would think so. I remember, I read somewhere, yes, it was Ford that got that thing started. Yeah.
So I always wonder, right, how different is the strategy of Ford in the adoption of EV versus perhaps the like of the other conventional autos like GM and VW? And what differentiates Ford versus many of the other autos with respect to their EV strategy?
Well, I would say that I can't comment on other auto company, right? But I can talk to you a little bit about our plan, right? So recently, as you may have heard, we kind of transformed our company to kind of split it up, right? To look at the way we structure our company to support the EV growth. We have Ford Blue, right? And then we have Ford Model E. which is basically focusing on EV, right? And in terms of our strategy in terms of EV, we look at the total ecosystem. I think just like any other company, right? We want to make sure that the product that we bring is not just an EV product, but how it's overlay. And you can see that the product that we're bringing out to the market is basically an EV version, a version of our product that is the strength of our product, whether it's, F-150 Lightning or the Mach-E, right? Those are products are building on the already a very strong brand platform that we have. So we kind of have the heritage and the new things going together at the same time. For me, that's quite the things that is kind of unique and really separate us from the competitors.
Yeah, as you say, right, you actually build on the strong heritage. You have the Mach-E, the F-15 Lightning. And if you look at the numbers, very impressive numbers. You sold over 30,000 electric vehicles, making you the number two retailer of electric vehicles actually last year, only behind, I think, Tesla. But here's where I'm struggling with, right? You have that heritage. You actually had that initial leadership per se, but Tesla seems to take all the glory with respect to EV and perhaps as a result command the premiums. That's the biggest challenge that Ford has, isn't it? How do you basically generate premium over your products, over the likes of Tesla?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't comment on Tesla, right? I can't comment on their strategy either. I can say what, with Ford, right? Because we want our EV to be somewhat the iconic, right? And that's, like I said, you see the F-150, the Lightning and the Mach-E, they're all iconic brand for us. So that would continue to be our strategy. And that would, again, I think, allow us to be, more premium in the sense that the customer will be looking for this type of product. And you can see the amount of orders or, bookings that we get since we launched, right? So that's where we really differentiate ourselves versus the competitor.
And so just bringing it back home, right? Many of us are excited. When will these EV models be available in Malaysia? I mean, you talk a lot about the incoming releases, but when are the EV versions coming into Malaysia or across Asia Pacific? What's the rollout plan there?
Next time when we have a firm plan, we'll let you know for sure. But we continue to assess the market demand, right? First thing first, we look at, you probably know more than I do anyway, when you look at the EV market, you look at the infrastructure, right? You need to make sure that the infrastructure is there to support rolling out and the adoption of the EV. The second thing is the government policy as well. And the third thing, most important thing is the demand, right? So we continue to assess those three factors. And it's not like we are short of EV product, but for the work that we continue to do in this part of the world is just to continue to assess that. And when there is the right time, we're definitely going to be looking at bringing products over.
And I want to put you in the spot here because you talk about three criteria here, infrastructure, EV policy, as well as demand. Which markets in Asia Pacific seem to be heading in the right direction in terms of driving EV penetration here then?
The market that's more mature, I would say like more in the, Australia, New Zealand, right? That those are more mature markets. But I see a lot of markets that is coming up, right? Where the government is putting a lot of emphasis on the EV policy and the support. But still, if you look at across the ASEAN region, right, if I bring closer to the ASEAN region, we see a lot of clear policy, but we haven't really seen a lot of clear implementation plan just yet. Because a few governments, a few markets has laid down they want to go for EV 100% by 2035 or 2030 or things like that. But in order to get there, you really need to see, you need to really have a clarity around how we're going to get there in terms of infrastructure. So I think it's unavoidable that market will move that direction. It's a matter of when.
So everyone's talking but not yet showing signs that they're walking. I guess let's just talk about the basics, right? About the current models that we currently have. And we are already facing challenges in rolling out the models because we've talked about this supply chain disruptions, labor shortages taking place all across the world. It's not unique to Ford. Can you perhaps share with me how challenging the supply chain disruptions are and labor shortages are for Ford Motor Company in Asia Pacific? And particularly for Malaysia, since you've got two models rolling out.
Yeah, so the supply shortage is not unique to Ford. As you rightly pointed out, we have a team that working days in, day out to evaluate that every month, right, to look at. But we continue to optimize our supply by building the models that in demand, high demand, and then continue to make sure that we deliver that to our customers. And then for those two products that we have just launched, the Next Gen Ranger and Next Gen Everest. So far, we have a strong demand and really, really strong demand in the high series. Yep. That's where we continue to work through. So far, it's been so good. And I mean, we start seeing the situation become a little bit better. It's not there yet, right? It's not. I don't think maybe it takes some time to go back to where we were before. But I continue to see the situation improve day by day.
But the multi-million dollar question is the wait list, right? I mean, many people like me and myself, we bought the cars, but the wait list is super long. So for your Next Gen Ranger and Next Gen Everest, right? How long is the waiting list?
In some markets, I haven't got the latest number from Malaysia yet, but I've seen a very strong number. In some market, we already sold out, you know, the product, the production for the year. In some, we have orders up until like 3 to 4 months. So we continue to kind of work through that with our distributors and the market.
And I guess the biggest question is, you know, with supply chain disruptions and also this whole point of inflation, naturally, we will have to pass on the costs to the customer. And one thing that struck me about Ford is that, you know, Henry Ford very much advocated for labor welfare support, right? Because he was the first to introduce this $5 a day, you know, salary, which was actually unprecedented, groundbreaking at the time. But I wonder if he's regretting that now because of high inflation and taking place, right? That all these rising costs will result in translating it to higher prices to the consumer in the future.
Yeah, we have to continue to monitor, right? Because, you know, eventually, if this continue to increase the inflation and then the commodity pricing that we are seeing, especially the steel and rare commodity continue to rise. And the other things that we have to monitor is the logistic cost as well. The freight also has increased quite significant over the past few years. And then as we are returning, you know, the market start to open, the demand is high. So for me, for Ford, we continue to monitor those situations. But more importantly, whatever we do, we need to make sure that we stay competitive. So that's also one of the things why we're looking at all the cost side. But at the same time, we still have to look at the market and the competitors as well. And we want to make sure that we still want to grow, right? So we want to make sure that we stay competitive in terms of pricing.
What's defined as competitive, right? What makes you able to define a relative market presence to make you competitive then? Because you can't really work if your share as low, isn't it?
Yeah, so competitor, I mean, staying competitive, there are a couple of things, right? If I talk from the customer point of view, is point of affordability in terms of how they can own, right? The down payment and things like that. So those are some of the things that we take into consideration as well. And then we look at the visual pricing as well. But for the customer, I think most relevant thing is that point of entry, how much money that they have to kind of get out of their pocket to be able to own a vehicle. So that's, and we look at that quite on a monthly basis.
And I guess a key element to make it competitive and affordable is to bring the production and manufacturing closer to the customer. Hence why you've actually announced an investment of $900 million in Thailand strengthen its production base in the country. Is this a function of meeting demand, or is it a function of diversifying your supply chain? What's the objective of that doubling down the investments in Thailand?
Well, prioritization would be demand, right? Because the plant we have two plants in Thailand, and the reason why we increase the investment is because we also enhancing our capability to be able to produce different kind of body style as well, and that's number one. And then we want to modernize our manufacturing facility. We're bringing in a lot of technology and robot to help us produce high quality vehicles. And then we also invest in terms of making sure that we have the quality measure. We have technology that allow us to really do the quality control before the vehicle leaving the plant. So most of the investment is put in the plant in Thailand is to help definitely to cope up with the demand, but also to enhance the capability to build variety of the body style and the high quality product.
Was Malaysia ever in contention as a production base for Ford?
Well, I'll let you know in the future, but for now we have two plants in Thailand, and that is providing the products exporting out so many markets.
Vicky, thank you for spending your time with us on The Breakfast Grill. Yukon Ton, Vicky Wisakosin, President of ASEAN and Asia Pac Distributor Markets for Ford Motor Company, on how Ford plans to expand in Asia Pacific and introduce its EV vehicles over a period of time. I'm Philip C., BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.